All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos LA Chargers podcast. Today we're going to do the movie rankings, but first we got some NFL business to take care of, joined by Will and Shane. How are the fellow Seahawks faithful doing on this Saturday?
Pretty hyped.
Overall not bad. I think, you know, there's certainly, well, we'll get more into it in a second, but certainly some surprises the last couple days, but I think, yeah, you know, in the long run, it'll all be things that turn out in their favor, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Will, I think when you think of, let's start with where Seattle is placed at the moment. This move, I think initially there was some shock, right? Because the Seattle was very stern about, we want Geno long term. But I think we all kind of know that you're not going to get any more than a third round for Geno Smith. And if it is Sam Darnold or whatever the future option is, it is a place where Seattle, I think, you know, get into this. But they had 10 wins last year, but it wasn't necessarily an impressive 10 wins. Right? We weren't really happy with how they played throughout the year just as a whole with Geno. So I think it does make a lot of sense for Seattle to kind of go in a different direction now rather than later.
Yeah, and plus we need to think about the future as well, and I feel like Geno was a part of it. I also read like they was going to sign him, but it wasn't in Geno's asking price, and we basically trade him off and the Raiders take it off our hands. Now it's their problem now. But now we basically can look to the future. We can continue figuring out what we want to do as far as the team goes. We're not in the shackles of Geno anymore. And now we can look in the future, also probably the present. If Sam Darnold is the guy, unless the team goes in and gives him a better offer, I think we're going to be just fine. Honestly, I feel like next year is just going to be a tanking type year unless something magical happens this off season. And honestly, we're looking forward to it because you look at the teams that, you know, tanked and had some down years, then developed two better teams. You look at the Houston Texans. You looked at the Bears. They're going to be pretty good for the future. Like, you look at all these teams that basically tanked for a little bit and then gotten better through the draft and free agency. And I feel like Seattle, I feel like Mike McDonald, Kubiak, John Schneider, I feel like they're all taking that route. And I feel like that's the best option moving forward.
And Shane, we kind of felt this was coming during the season. Because, again, 10 wins, yeah. But on the surface, there were some serious issues. And we kind of felt that this was the direction they were going immediately as Mike McDaniel was hired.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it would happen this offseason just because, you know, you look around and it's like, well, are there really better options at quarterback right now just between free agency and the draft? Not a ton, not really, no. But, you know, so for that reason, I was a little bit shocked when I first, you know, heard this news. But, you know, then I thought about it more. I was like, well, okay. Schneider is a very, he's very calculated. He doesn't often make just like impulsive decisions. So I thought, okay, he might know something we don't, you know, and it's, I mean, I just look at it as like, look, he obviously has some sort of plan because he's not just going to trade Geno on a whim one day after he requests a trade when they, you know, when you look at their quarterback situation and they don't really have another guy at the moment. You know, he obviously knows something we don't, like someone they're talking with or you know, maybe a rookie that they're really interested in, whatever it may be. Or maybe Sam Howell. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't love that, but whatever. I don't, who knows? You know, so that's, I think that's kind of my general thought on it. You know, and that's, and as for like Metcalf and Lockett, sad to see Lockett go. But ultimately, I mean, you know, he definitely slowed down a lot this year. Wasn't as productive as he normally has been. And, you know, he is getting up there in age, and I think he's pretty expensive for what you get out of him. So as sad as it is, I do feel like ultimately that was the right move to move on from him. And yeah, DK, I mean, yeah, I hope to God they ship him out of here. God. I'm sorry, but you know, hi Brandon. He's got all the physical tools and ability. You know, I mean, he's 6'4", 230, probably, you know, 3% body fat, just runs a, you know, 4.3, insane. But it's like, you know, the dude is a terrible route runner. He drops a lot of balls, and he has bad ball security on top of it. So, you know, I mean, that's the entire wide receiver's job, is to run a route and then catch the ball, and he struggles to do both of those. So, you know, not to mention he's also very expensive, and he is, let's be honest, he's kind of a diva. All right. So yeah, when you look at the rest of the team, I mean, you got JSN as a solid one for your receiver. So I'm like, yeah, you know, trade DK away for, you know, another receiver on a different team, someone who can be Seattle's two, right? And then go from there. I don't think keeping DK around is really gonna bring a whole lot of value
to that team. I will say it's looking like they're just gonna get draft capital, which then in turn would be a receiver. Which is, I think,
yeah,
about where.
Which is also fine. I mean, yeah, whatever. It's not, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and they'll probably, yeah. I mean, who knows what they'll do in the draft? But I would imagine they'll go after a receiver or two in free agency. You know, not like a one. That's, I mean, that's going to be JSN, but you know, like a good two or even a three, right? Yeah, and that's, it's funny. What my mom goes, okay, well, is my favorite guy Jake Bobo gonna get promoted now? And I was like, yeah, the slowest receiver in the NFL? I don't think so.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I mean, like him.
He probably is, isn't he?
I think he might. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Anyways. But, yeah, so. But, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Brandon, welcome to the show. How are you doing, buddy?
I am exhausted. I would have been here earlier, but I have family that came over. My little cousin's sleeping over tonight, so he's in my grandparents' room. So I've been doing a lot of stuff. I would have been here on time, but I'm here now. I'm ready to go.
How did you enjoy Seton Hall getting torched earlier?
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, because it's Seton Hall.
What do you think? Like, you enjoyed it?
You know.
Yeah.
I love watching my D1 program get destroyed. So yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
I would love to get your other side on this with the Geno trade from the Raiders' perspective. Why do you think this move makes sense? I mean, let's say it's like 3 years, $40 million a year. We'll find out next week. But from the Raiders' perspective, what are your thoughts on the Geno Smith move?
So, you know, at first, when the news broke, my coworker and I were kind of laughing at it a little bit because we were like, oh, great, you know, we're going to kick around Geno some more. And we're going to put him in a worse situation than he was in Seattle. But when you think about it, it's actually not that bad considering, well, two things. A, he's better than what the Raiders have now, which is quite literally nothing. And B, how much, if you're the Raiders, how much do you really trust other quarterbacks that, like, in this weak draft class? Do you trust them enough? Like, do you trust them enough to get one of them and say, hey, you know, this is the guy we want to roll with for potentially the next, you know, at least 5 years for, you know, because of a rookie deal, 4 or 5 years. So, you know, it kind of makes sense for where they're at, you know, and I mean, there's already that Seattle, you know, relationship with, you know, Pete Carroll. So it does kind of make sense. And I think that for now, he's just a good bridge idea. It's a good bridge signing. So to me, it makes sense, you know, at least, you know, they're not going to win a bunch of games. We know that it's the Raiders, but it's better probably than anything else they could do right now. So I don't hate it. You know, I like it for now. I think it's fine. It'll get them a few more wins than probably than what they've been used to the last few years. But, you know, that's a part of the growing pains. They're trying to grow something there. It starts with, you know, seeing what you got, what you can get out of Geno at this point in his career. And also what you can kind of build off of for the next guy that will take over after him. So I like it for now. In the moment, it's a good idea. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I think it's a great move for Vegas because it's like neither, you know, Pete or Geno at this point are guys that are going to win you a Super Bowl. Yeah. But they're not, at least they shouldn't be, they're not trying to win a Super Bowl right now, the Raiders.
Yeah.
This is an organization that has been a mess for years. They're just trying to get the train back on the tracks. And these two guys are perfect for that. You know, Pete has, the guys love him. He's been coaching for 50 years. You know, he's a good culture guy just to get things going in the right direction. And same with Geno. He's, you know, he's nothing crazy, but he's a leader. He's a grown up, which are guys you want in the quarterback room. And he's, you know, he's better than, I mean, no offense to Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, but he's better than those guys, you know? So, this is not the Raiders trying to win a Super Bowl. This is just them trying to get going in the right direction. Because, you know, I mean, realistically, you look at it, they still have easily the worst head coach and worst quarterback in that division. And that's not a shot at them. That just shows you how good that division is. I really like it for Vegas. I don't know if I love the $45 million a year that they're wanting to pay Geno, but, you know, burn that bridge when we get to it.
We'll burn it next week for sure.
There you go.
And then Will and I came in here earlier, and the quarterback that has been on our minds ever since this deal got done is Kirk Cousins. So let me give you guys the full breakdown here of what's going on with Kurt in Atlanta. They had a meeting earlier in the week, Arthur Blank and Kirk Cousins. And, you know, Kurt and his agent, very adamant, you know, cut me, let me go, right? Which makes sense because if he gets cut, go the Russell Wilson route, get a minimum somewhere and start probably, just considering where the market is. Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons are in no position to do that. And here's why. The Kirk Cousins cap hit is $40 million. If they cut him, the dead cap is $65 million this year. The potential out is next year in 2026, the next offseason, with $35 million dead cap. So, and here is, so here's the other piece of this. When you look at the salary cap, Atlanta is negative $5.28 million. So they literally are in no position, other than some cap finagling, to cut him. The best option for Atlanta is to keep him as the backup quarterback. It sucks for Kirk Cousins, though, because, look, he could probably start somewhere on the minimum this year. Next year, if he gets cut, better draft class, better free agency class, that's probably not going to happen next year. So, yeah, it's a rough situation for Kirk Cousins and in Atlanta to an extent, but Atlanta has all the leverage.
It's their own damn fault, bro. Like, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Atlanta, hey, man, Kirk Cousins is the best agent right now. Best agent in the NFL right now, man.
Bag stealer.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for Atlanta at all.
Yeah, nope.
How about Kirk saying that, like, he wants to get out of here?
Kirk, yeah. I feel for him. Yeah, because, I mean, he's, what is he, 36 now? Like, yeah, he doesn't have that many years left. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, I want to play while I still can.
And he probably thought in his mind this would be the final bag he gets, and he would just ride off into the sunset.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's not his fault they signed him to this disgusting contract and then said, ah, screw you, we're going to draft a rookie. Like,
yeah.
No, this is the fault of Atlanta and their dumbass operation.
The second Michael Penix Jr. was drafted, that GM should have been fired on the spot.
Yeah, I was laughing my butt off. Yeah. I was in the draft. I was at the draft room. I was laughing my butt off. I was like, you know where they interview and stuff like that, and he was sitting down. I was like, Michael Pittman. I'm like, what? I was laughing my butt off. Everybody was like groaning and stuff. They're like, oh. And I was like, that's crazy. I was laughing. I was like, damn, this GM's dumb. I thought they was going to get Dallas Turner in that pick or Jared Verse. That was
funny. It was crazy, yeah. Though, Will. The best shot of that entire draft is Arthur Blank looking at the GM like, what the hell are you doing? When they showed the war room. He's like, what the hell are you doing?
I know. I'm surprised they fired that GM, though.
Yeah, you know. Oh, my God.
Like, and that's the difference between... No,
I was going to say...
I was going to say, we can all agree, but yeah, go ahead, Shane.
And that's the difference between good owners and bad owners right there is, well, not the difference, but one of the biggest differences. You know, you hear Clark Hunt or Stan Kroenke is that the Rams GM or owner?
Rams owner is Kroenke, yeah. You're on the right track.
Okay, yeah. I get them confused. Anyways... You know, you hear them talk, which is rare.
Les Snead is the Rams GM. So there you go.
Right. Yes. Yeah. But anyways, so where was I going with this? Oh yes. when you hear those guys talking in interviews, whatever, they go, yeah, you know, I'm pretty hands off when it comes to talent evaluation or whatever, but they still keep me informed, keep me in the loop about what they're going to do before they actually do it. So, you know, and that's important because, you know, owner, he's the one or she is the one writing the checks. And so, you know, they just cut a $100 million check to Kirk Cousins, and now all of a sudden you're like, yeah, so actually, you know, yeah, what do you think his reaction is going to be? You know, so that's just a small little thing, but it goes to show you that Atlanta has no idea what the hell they're doing, because they, if that was their plan all along, they wouldn't have given that contract to, or they wouldn't have signed Kirk to a 4-year deal. They would have just signed him to like a 1-year, right? And then on top of that, Arthur Blank wouldn't have walked into the war room and been like, what? You know, he should have known about that weeks beforehand, not right there. So, anyways, very strange, but, you know, we all know that they're a poverty franchise, so makes sense.
Shane, can I turn you to another franchise that's been very confusing then?
Sure.
Cincinnati Bengals. What are they doing? They signed Mike Gesicki to a 3-year deal, like, what, today, basically. They, you know, T. Higgins is on a franchise tag. There's no communication or nothing right now about Jamar Chase. And Trey Hendrickson, the sack leader last year, is on the trade market. What is going on?
Well, it's simple. Cincinnati as a franchise is very cheap. And, you know, the only reason they're relevant right now is because they struck gold with their number one overall pick 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if, well, and Jamar, but he's not connected. The, right. But anyways, so, yeah, so it's, this is, they feel to me like, kind of like the Mariners of the NFL, where
it's such an apt example. Oh my god!
I mean, I'm just saying, like, as a Mariners fan, I can say that. Where, you know, they have this guy who's really good, but then the rest of the team are just kind of like, yeah, you know. I mean, like Will was saying earlier, Trey Hendrickson leads the league in sacks, and you just gotta say, yeah, go ahead, you can leave. Like, what are you doing? I mean, that, hello? The defensive line is, I would say, the second most important position in football. And so when you have, you know, one of the best quarterbacks and one of the best defensive linemen in the league, you're just gonna let one of them walk. I mean, hell, look at, they had a, what's his name, Jesse Bates, who was a great safety. And, you know, we were all like, you know, he's a safety, they'll recover. But even losing him, it left a big hole, because they just don't have the infrastructure for the rest of the team. So, yeah. And this, you know, this is not going to help. I mean, why are you prioritizing a tight end over, you know, offensive line and, like, Alex Kappa? You know, why are you letting him go? Or D-line, you know, just whatever. They just have their priorities totally backwards. It's like they're stepping over dollars to pick up pennies, all right? That's what it is. So yeah, I don't know. it's frustrating.
Brandon, I mean, to me, this is looking like 2 years down the road, Joe Burrow requesting a trade. That's what this feels like to me.
My God, I wouldn't even think. Yeah, I would. Yeah, thank you. I was just about to say it. Thank you for. Why are we so in sync?
Great minds think alike, Brandon.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, I would like. There's already rumblings of Joe Burrow wanting out now because of this crap. So, and on top of that, you know, you can't blame him because it's like the guy. You know, you give him two good receivers. And you give him a running back who came out, who's burst onto the scene this year. You're figuring by the end of the season, they're catching fire. Hey, there's a chance we'll keep all of them while they're in there, coming into their primes. And we're going to make a run the next, you know, 5-6 years with this window. We're going to build that defense up. That's what they should be doing. No, they're cheap. So now we're basically demolishing it. And now there's already no offensive line. There's already no defense to speak of, and now with Trey Hendrickson gone, basically, they're going to be gone. There's no...
there's really no defense.
There's really no defense. Yeah, there's really no defense now. And now, he'll have nobody to throw the ball to. So, the only thing for next year that's going to be fun, Chase Brown fantasy managers, pick him up, because he's going to be used a shit ton. But the biggest just issue with this team, and I mean, we've already been saying it, they're just so cheap. You can't, and it was funny. The Mariners comparison is pretty accurate, because every time out there in Seattle, you guys have built a team out there that can compete, that can make a playoff push. It's only for a couple years, and then they just take a wrecking ball to it again. It doesn't make sense. So it's like the Bengals have been the same way, even when they had Carson Palmer and Chad Ochocinco. It was like, it was great for a few years, but they were never good enough to really win anything. They made a couple playoff pushes, but that was it. Then they started over again. I don't understand Cincinnati. It's like you have the star players to attract more star players, if you really want to, if you could, you know, make the promise of building the team the way it should be built out and branched out, but you're not doing it. You keep starting over for really no reason other than the fact that you are not willing to spend the money to make your team better. And when you're fine with mediocrity, that just means you're comfortable with losing. And the last few years outside of the Super Bowl run have shown that. You are comfortable with losing. You're comfortable with just putting asses in seats, making money off of that, because Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, all those guys, they will put people in seats and just be good enough to either just promise an inkling of the playoffs, a taste of the playoffs, or they're still riding off that high of that Super Bowl run in which they lost. So that it feels like at this point, obviously, with everything going on, how they're basically blowing this team up, that was the peak of Bengals football, and they'll never get back there. So, and they always say, you know, when you're a Super Bowl winner, it's hard to get back, and when you're a loser, it's even harder to get back, because you've got that pressure to try to get back and win it. And we know what's happened since. They haven't even gotten close. So it's really disheartening when you look at the talent. Like, I don't, and that's, and thank God you said it, Shane. I don't get paying Mike Gesicki when he's not even the sixth best player on your team. He's probably the sixth best player on that offense. So,
yeah.
I don't understand why you're throwing a bag at him when last year, it's like, yeah, he had a couple nice games, but it wasn't like he was a top five tight end last year.
Wait, can I jump in here really quick?
Yeah,
because that contract is cheap and it's 3 years long. That's why.
Yeah, but still, you don't pay him anyway. You don't pay him. You don't need to. You don't throw the money. You don't throw the money at the sixth best player on the offense. Like, when I say throw a bag, I don't mean like a ton of money. Like, I'm saying like just any kind of bag.
It's still big or small. We're talking about them being cheap. Here's example number one.
Yeah, like those funds should be put somewhere else. Like, you know, because you have more important needs than paying the sixth best player on your offense, not even on your team, on your offense. So it's, I don't, that's where it's just like, it just, None of it from top to bottom makes any sense. They're, you can argue that they're just as, well, maybe probably even worse, because given their track record, that they're worse right now, maybe, you know, in terms of how they deal with their star players, then at, like, them and Atlanta are almost the same. I mean, not, maybe not worse, but they're in the same bracket at this point. Those teams are comfortable with losing, and they don't care about you know, trying to put a good product on the field, because if they did, they wouldn't make so many stupid decisions over and over and over again. So it's really, and we talk about how bad, like we want to see we want to see other teams compete, right? But look at all the elite teams in the NFL. What do they all do? They're all smart. They know what to do with their players. They know what to do with the money. They know what to do with free agents. They know what to do in the draft. And that's why they stay at the top. The problem, and then you look at everybody else, and it's like, you are a professional organization. You're being paid to do your job at the highest level possible. How are people this stupid in this league? I don't understand it, and it makes me mad.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's bad. It's something where, you know, with Cincinnati, like, you have Joe Burrow and he only has so much time left, and that's where the issue really comes to. Will, what do you think about where Cincinnati's kind of placed themselves here at the beginning of the offseason?
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of self-inflicting wounds, honestly. This same thing with the Cowboys, because Jerry Jones, because him and Mike Brown got something in common, is that they're both cheap with doing stuff. They don't do much in the offseason. So, you know, that's that. But I think the biggest thing with them is that, honestly, it always been a case, like I said before, it's they had a chance last season or last offseason to pay Jamar Chase. They didn't. They changed to pay T. Higgins. They didn't keep franchise tag of T. Higgins.
And by the way, they would have cost a lot less last offseason.
Yeah. And then Trey Henderson, also same thing, same situation. So you're basically now you're in this final spot for all three, and your franchise tag T. Higgins. Now you either have to pay him or trade him. And right now, in my opinion, I think they're going to try to figure out to pay him, but I feel like T. Higgins probably want at least a little bit more. But you also got to know that you also got to pay Jamar Chase. Like, he wants like top, like Justin Jefferson money, because to my opinion, he's a top three or top five receiver. And with that, like, it's harder, and they keep digging himself into his hole so much. Same thing with Jerry Jones. He keep digging himself in that hole as well. And it's just, I don't know. It's something that's why they call him cheap Cincinnati or whatever, cheapinati, whatever you call it. And I feel like with this team, it's like, man, you could have had a chance. Now you're in this hole. Now, let's say now you have to figure out what else you got to do to help build that O line, since you got rid of Alex Kappa for a cap saving move, and then you have to figure out some other and also keep building that defensive line, especially with Sam Hubbard retiring. So, man, honestly, Cincinnati got a lot of work to do this offseason, and man, it's not looking good. But honestly, no one but Mike Brown.
Yeah, and then switching gears to kind of our last NFL thing. Brandon, I'll start with you on this. Debo Samuel to the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I like it because they got a basic bag of chips. You know, they gave away a bag of chips for him, which is fine. You know, and we did say that this offense did need a number two outside of Terry McLaurin, and that's what they've got. But here's the problem. Debo is getting older. Debo is getting injured. Debo doesn't have – last year he did not have hands at all. He dropped everything that came his way. And you are now playing with less talent around you than what you had in San Francisco which could expose you even more. It makes the team that around you better, but it's not the same team you just played with in San Fran. So that's going to be interesting to see how they fit, because also he's not, I don't think he'll be used this, obviously, because it's a different system. You know, Cliff Kingsbury's not going to use him as a running back or put him on, you know, different kinds of slants and then things like that. Like this is very much like an air raid kind of offense. So they're going to, I mean, and the thing is, he doesn't have, you know, burner type speed. He's more of kind of a more physical wide receiver. This might be maybe being a little shorter than people kind of realize. The way that they have to use him, they're going to have to get creative, and they're going to have to, you know, Terry McLaurin's the guy that will take the top off the defense. Debo's going to have to be the guy that gets everything in the middle of the field, which he did to a degree in San Fran. But he's going to have to be the guy that they use for basically everything else other than, you know, deep shots, because you're just not going to throw deep with Debo. There was times where San Fran was putting, I think, Debo on wheel routes out of the backfield, for God's sake. There's times where they were, you know, putting him just all over, pretty much all over that offense and getting him the ball. But this is going to be a little bit different. I like it. It's just that, you know, people thinking that's already enough to compete with what Philly has. I don't think so. That's not just bias. It's a fact. But and the thing is, sophomore slumps for quarterbacks are real things. That does happen. That's happened to pretty much every modern quarterback. You know, that happened to CJ Stroud last year. It's no quarterback's immune to it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that offense will get him involved, because the rest of the offense will be fine as long as they're healthy, you know, God willing. But I don't think this move is not a needle mover. This whole thing is not a needle mover for me. It's just, you know, Debo is not a guy that's going to get you 1,000 yards. He only did it once in his career. He's a guy, that's why he's coming in to be the two, because he's a guy that will probably end up getting you close to 800 at his best, which is only pretty much slightly more than what the other guys have gotten them. So they're going to get a little something more out of him. But it's not gonna turn them into Super Bowl contenders, I don't think. I don't think, you know, that's not a move that's you're looking at that like, oh yeah, that's the final piece because we made the NFC Championship last year. That's the final piece to put us in the Super Bowl, because it's not. Especially when that defense is so bad. So, you know, that's gonna be real interesting. But, and I think it's a good deal because they gave up nothing for him. But it's not, you know, an earth shaker, needle mover kind of deal.
Will, what say you? Not too much of a crazy move there?
Yeah, honestly, for that move, I don't think it's crazy. Like, I agree with Brandon. Debo wasn't the type of receiver he once was. And also, he's a bit of a high head and a diva, somewhat like DK in some sense. And I feel like with that said, like, there's also, you know, a chance like Debo, Brandon Ayuk could possibly get traded as well. Though the difference is that Brandon Ayuk just signed a deal last year, so that's gonna be something. So honestly, with Debo, it was a, you know, good thing. I know they traded like a fourth round pick, I believe, and I think that's a, you know, a trade that can be good out as well. It's a decent trade for it, is what it is. And, you know, like, I agree. I think Debo isn't what he uses. He's like a gadget guy, but he doesn't have, like, I agree, they don't have much of the speed, but, you know, he's able to be in the type of gadget, just not, like, you know, more effective like a Tyreek Hill, but he's effective in some way. So it's going to be something, because honestly, we'll see what Cliff Kingsbury will do with him. Though I don't think he fits mostly in the air raid offense because of his usage, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's a trade. It's honestly a trade for win-win for both sides because, hey, Jaden Daniels got another weapon. And, you know, 49ers can get rid of a more cap space. And yeah, it's a win-win for both sides. But yeah, Debo's not what he used to be.
Yeah, it was just a fifth rounder for the 49ers. You can speak on the Commanders as well, Shane. But for the 49ers, does this feel like a move that singles a transition for their wide receivers? Excuse me.
Yeah, at least the start of it. You know, it's we've been saying this for a year or two, but. You know, San Francisco, I mean, they got to start. You know, they had, for about 5 years there, they had a really solid roster. But they're getting older now. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, they got to have some sort of a plan to pivot off these guys. And, you know, we're starting to see it a little bit now where, you know, Debo's, he's kind of the first domino to fall, so to speak. in hindsight, I get, you know, obviously it's probably a good thing they got Pearsall last year. You know, and... I look at them overall, and I think they're in for, you know, tough sailing or rough sailing. Is that the phrase? I don't know. Anyways, for the next couple of years here, because, you know, Debo was a big piece of that team. You know, granted, this year and even the year before, he kind of slowed down a little bit and started to get exposed a little bit, I think, just because he's not a great route runner. He's, you know, but and, you know, as for Washington, I mean, you know, I think it's good, not great. You know, I mean, getting him for just a fifth, that's fantastic, but yeah, I think for the most part, it's, you know, it's just getting them a two, which they need, and, you know, because this, I mean, right now they're defense, like Brandon was saying, it's not the best, so you know, they just need to stack up on guys that either on offense to make up for that, or of course, you know, getting defensive guys that are good too, so I'm sure they will, but you know, we'll see that next.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Will, before we let you go and do our movie rankings, what are some movies from the past year that you were really high on, just as a whole?
So, I would say you're talking about my favorite movies?
Yeah, your favorite movies from the past year, from 2024. What just comes out to mind as a whole?
Okay, I think... some of the best ones, I believe. There've been some good ones. Honestly, there was a Sonic. I thought Sonic 3 was pretty good. I thought Gladiators was amazing. Well, besides the ending, it was. I'm trying to think of other ones because 2024, like, it has been a while since I've seen some of the movies. Deadpool and Wolverine. That was pretty good as well. There was another movie I did see. I was thinking of it the other day. I thought that I think that was the biggest thing I remember. Oh yeah, Venom Last Dance. That was it had a good conclusion. Good conclusion that was into that you know, trilogy. And also King Kong the New Empire. That was a pretty good movie with King Kong and Godzilla. So those are, I guess, my five, I believe.
Yeah, some really fun ones there on the list for sure. Well, thank you, Will, for your time here. We'll see you next week for Free Agency, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
See ya.
See ya.
All right, one of our favorite things of the entire year, the movie rankings, all 21. Let's get it cracking, Shane. What do you have in mind for your rankings? Do you want to start, or how do you want to proceed with this?
I feel like I should either start or be the last.
I want you to start. I don't think you started last year.
I did start last year.
Did you? Okay. Then can I Brandon, can I go first then?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Should we top to bottom or bottom to top? I think bottom to top is more
worst to best.
Worst to best. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Debate.
And by the way, for the listener, this is not our full review of the movie. You can go see that in each individual episode. This is just like, you know, a 20-second recap. Like, I like it because this next or whatever.
Yeah, this is kind of the, we gave our individual rankings and some of these won't match up. That's also intentional, excuse me, because I also just want to see how it changes with time. It's been like over a month, maybe even more for some of these movies since we last saw them.
Or five months even.
So it is interesting.
I'm going to make a list of
put it in like the Discord that we're on right now or whatever on the general, because I think you did that last year.
I will when we're done. Okay.
Okay. So I have a debate, and I need you guys to settle this for me. Because my hardest thing was actually 21 and 20 and 20. Which movie is more coherent? Hancock or Venom? Or Venom 2, excuse me. Venom 2 or Hancock? What movie is more coherent?
I'd say Hancock.
Yeah, I was going to say Hancock. Because, I mean, at least there's some semblance of a story there. I mean, Venom 2 is all over the place. Also, just visually also all over the place, too.
That was kind of my thing. I love the Venom franchise, though. But, yeah, I'm going to stick with it then. I had Venom last. I had Hancock at 20. Look, no slight to Will, because I thought the pick was actually really good. And I had some fun with that movie, but, like, it's not that great.
Outside of Venom 2, I don't think there was truly a bad movie on this list. It's just that we have to rank them.
Yeah, I think I put Hancock and Venom 2 as like clearly the worst, just because both of those movies have like pretty massive issues that we detailed on those individual episodes. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that I didn't enjoy them for what they were, which was kind of the point of those two movies anyway. 19 Princess Bride, as much as I enjoyed the movie, you know, it's an older film. Moneyball at 18, I think it's partially
with older movies.
Yeah, I mean older movies, but I think we also had some really good classics here that kind of transcend a lot of what Princess Bride did and kind of elevated themselves a little bit. Moneyball, I think it's just a product that I've seen it a lot of times, and it's lost a lot of its luster because some of the guys in that movie that which we talked about ended up signing Deshaun Watson, so I don't know what was the analytical decision there. So some of it is just the decisions and the looking back. It's a fun movie, but that's what it is.
Okay, wait. So you had 21, Venom 2, 20 was Hancock, and then what?
19, Princess Bride, 18, Moneyball.
Okay.
17, Christmas Vacation. Couldn't figure out how to place it. Every time we do a Christmas movie in the future, It's the hardest one. Just good. It's such a great movie, but it is a Christmas movie. I'm fine if it's high on this list. I'm totally fine with that, just because it's a great movie. But mm-hmm. I have to rank it somehow. Number 16, Rescue Dawn. I did enjoy it. It was just slow.
Yeah.
Hell or High Water for me is the one that it's just like, I don't feel like it aged as well as I hoped in the months following. So that's 15. 14 is Adventureland. This is actually the movie I think about the most from the year. I did enjoy this movie. It's just, I don't know. I think it can sit pretty comfortably at 14 for me.
13. Well, it's hard for me to place a little bit.
Yeah, that's hard for me to place. I think it's really memorable, but I think it's a solid film. 13, Free Solo, Oscar winner, crazy story. We talked about just how nuts it is. It Chapter 2, in my opinion, was the most fun I had this year, and that's at 12. Just because
it won.
Yeah. Because to me, like, just for my first real horror experience to actually be frightened, but also in kind of awe of a lot of the visual effects and these ideas. And so I thought it was great. Hurt Locker at 11. It's also one I constantly think about. I love seeing, you know, the biggest thing for me was obviously seeing the MCU actors kind of out of that element and still showcase themselves as remarkable actors, which they all are in that franchise. The Departed at 10. I think I'm always reminded of what Brandon, you, and what you, Shane, kind of said, how the ending just didn't really fit as well. And so that kind of sticks with me. And then we're kind of come a top 10 is like, yeah, these are gold standard for me, like in everything that's going on, or at least top 9 I would say is gold standard. So Sicario at 9. I kind of wish we did it later in the year, because I had to look it up and go, oh yeah, this was a movie I really enjoyed. But I really enjoyed that film. I still have great memories of watching it. Pan's Labyrinth is the most unique one. I think that's it at 8, just so unique.
Definitely.
Joker at 7. Joker 2 puts a huge stain on that movie. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It does put a huge stain on that movie. In a way that's really sad, honestly, because I love that movie, but it doesn't preclude it from being in the top 10. It's at 7. Spotless Mind at 6. Again, classic. Same with Gladiator at 5 and Rango at 4. Again, just classics in their own genre. Gone Girl is the one that I think still gives me a lot of pause. So that's it at 3, just because it's a real movie that gives me real pause of like what I would do in that situation. I love that. Tenet at 2. I was debating putting it at 1 because, again, it is my favorite movie ever, probably. It's up there at least, just because, yeah, is it big brain? Is it nuts? Is it crazy? Do I still understand it after 5 watches? Yeah, but it's a fun movie, and I really enjoy it. It's one of the movies that I'm like, if you're like a geek at this stuff and like want to get brain teased, watch that movie. And number 1 is the only movie I gave a 10 to in Downfall, just because I thought the representation was crazy, the way they really focused on, you know, the war from Germany's side and just their perspective. It doesn't, again, as the reason why Shane picked it doesn't make you sympathize with them. It's not supposed to, but it makes you understand it. And I think for, especially, you know, German movie, German actors, all these different things. And I love that movie. That movie is the one from this year that I'm really like, hey, if you want like a proper war film and really make your mind think, it's definitely Downfall. So that sits it with me at number 1. Shane, any repeats that you need?
No, I got it all.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Overall, I'm pleased with that ranking.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna hate mine.
all right, Brandon, go ahead. Starting from 21 up to 1.
Yep. So, you know, I think we're all gonna agree that Venom 2 was the worst. I mean, hell, even Shane put the poop emoji next to it when we did it. When we were like talking about it. But I don't think we gave any. First of all, I don't think we gave any movie this year below a 6.5. Like, none of these movies were particularly bad outside of Venom 2. It's just that I did it just based off my personal preference, pretty much, because I don't think any of these movies are bad. You know, certain things I like more than others. So, but 21 easily was Venom 2. I mean, we talked about that at length. 20 for me. Now, Rob, you put it really high. I put it next to last. I'm actually putting Gone Girl at 20.
Really?
I think I talked about like the twist and things like the, you know, kind of how unsettling it kind of was when we did our review of it, but I didn't it's not my kind of movie. I didn't care for it. Like it was a big thing. I remember when it came out, but I never really cared for it. 19, I put Hancock. It's not a bad movie. I like it, but it's CGI things, whatnot, that's kind of why it's there. 18, you guys know how I feel about documentaries, so I put Free Solo there. I like Free Solo as a movie. It's the only documentary I can sit through without falling asleep. I like Free Solo a lot. I like Alex's story a lot. I'm glad that Adam picked it. I even said when Adam picked it, I said I know why, because he loves this movie. But I'm just not a documentary guy, so overall I had to put it low, so it's at 18. 17, I don't, when it comes to anything that's, for me, it's hard to get into a film if I can't really grasp the language, even though I do I know Spanish really well. Pan's Labyrinth is 17. The kind of fantasy-ish movies and things like that, and especially if they're in a foreign language, it kind of just doesn't do it for me. But like I said, these movies aren't bad. It's just that it's just personal preference, really, for me. 16 is Tenet. I mean, that's, I, you know, when it clicked, when we were talking about it, and when Rob was happy that I kind of understood what was going on, and that when it clicked, I was like, okay, I respect this movie more. Because originally, when we had this movie coming up, like during the season, I was like, "Oh, this movie's gonna be in the bottom three," and it didn't end up in the bottom three. Ended up in the next level up, so it's at 16.
It's all about if you get it or not. That's what, if you get it to a degree, that's all that matters. That matters.
Yeah. 15. I put it, and mostly I put it there because not it's not a bad movie. It's just that it's. I saw it in theaters when it came out. I've seen it a bunch of times since it's come out. It just lost its steam for me pretty much a lot over the years. So I just, by the time we got to it, like, by the time I got to the end of it, I'm like, oh, I forgot why I haven't watched this movie in a while. I'm like, because I'm like, it's just, it's not scary anymore. Like, I like movies that still make you feel that way after a while. That's how you know it's kind of like a classic. And I'm like, this movie just still, I'm like, all right, jump scare there, jump scare there, jump scare there, jump scare there. All right, whatever. So that's that. But it's still a good acting movie. It's still really well done. Still really cool. 14. In terms of animated films, I think it's one of the best. But I have to put, you know, animated films, I just don't watch a lot of them anymore. So I put Rango there at 14. And then, yeah, me and you, Rob, we had the same kind of idea about Adventureland. I put Adventureland at 13. That was hard to place. So originally, I was like, oh, is it going to be like 9 or 10? I'm like, or is it going to be like close to 15? Like, I was like, it's not near the bottom, but it's not like, I knew that was going to be somewhere in the middle of the list. I just didn't know where. But it's still a good movie. It's just that it being kind of like a slight coming of age story, it was a little bit, and also with the actors being a little bit older than I guess coming of age kind of was a little bit jarring to me, but I still liked it. 12, once again, like I said, foreign language films, so you're going to hate me, but I put Downfall at 12. I like the story, but at the same time, I feel like if you paid attention to history class, you know the story of Hitler's final days. So, although this is the most accurate telling of it and portrayal of it, which is cool, and it was still, you know, the ending is still really good to me. So I got to keep it somewhat high, like kind of in the somewhat near the top half, but it's at 12 for me. So this is probably where the first shocker comes in. I put Princess Bride at 11. I actually liked it, despite me saying that it was not my cup of tea when we did it. I mean, it's just a funny movie. I like it. It kept me entertained. I wouldn't go back to it, but as a comedy movie, it's very funny. And I mean, it's a classic, so I had to give some respect to it. So it's in the top. It's near the top half. So then, okay, we're getting into the top 10. So at 10, that's where I put Christmas Vacation. It's my favorite Christmas movie pretty much ever, next to the Grinch. But I can rewatch Christmas Vacation whenever and still laugh at it. The jokes are still funny. I still love that movie. Another comedy classic. I can't put it in the bottom half. It had to be in the top 10 for me. 9, I had Joker. I saw it in theaters when it came out. I remember being in awe of it in the theaters when it came out. I feel the same way as you do, Rob. Joker 2 kind of just ruined the legacy. Like, I really wish they kind of just would have left Joker 1 alone.
Joker 2 is bad. Joker 2 is really bad.
Our lists are so different.
Yeah.
All three of ours.
I'm sorry to barge in, but Joker 2 is really bad. It's terrible.
It stains that first movie so bad. It really does. It just like you said, it really does. 8. So at 8, I put my pick. I put Rescue Dawn. It is a little bit slow, but I like anything Christian Bale does. And I like the fact that we did, you know, a Vietnam War movie. I like the fact that it's a little bit different than other war movies, obviously, because Vietnam is a different war than a lot of the ones we've been involved in. But Christian Bale does such a good job in that movie. I think, I mean, I'm a Christian Bale fan, so I had to put it a little bit higher. So it's at 8 for me. 7, this is another one. I praised it because I love this actor too. But 7, I put Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Jim Carrey is phenomenal, even if you get him away from comedy. And this was proof of that. I mean, we talked about that one being out of pretty good detail, but that's a movie I can go back to a bunch of times and never get bored of it. It's really cool. I love it. So yeah, that's 7. 6. This was the hardest one in the entire list for me to place. Because my God, when I was really thinking about it, I was like, oh, I had this movie one at one point at like 13. Then I had it at like 9. And then I finally put it at 6. And that was Moneyball. Because Moneyball, it doesn't crack my top 5 because it's still pretty formulaic in terms of it's a sports movie, so it's going to be a, you know, very kind of basic story. But the thing is, it's still iconic, it's still legendary, the score is still great. You know, the moments of drama and tension, I mean, there's still memes with that movie today, and there's still things I make reference to. And also just rest in peace to the Oakland A's.
That Vegas patch this week.
Yeah.
Oh.
But to me, it's like you can take the Raiders out of Oakland because they were in LA originally, but you can't take the A's out of Oakland. That's the Oakland A's until I die.
You can't take the Oakland out of the A's.
Yeah. You know, it's just you just can't. You can't do that. So, but Moneyball, the actual movie is still really good. I put it at 6. You know, of course, we're going to see, you guys are going to pretty much, now that we've gotten to the top 5, you guys know all year the movies I was going to say were going to be in my top 5. 5 is Gladiator. I've seen it. And the only reason it's not like number 1 or 2 is because I've seen it 1,000 times and I don't get tired of it, but it's still in the top 5. I still love it. It's still a great movie from start to finish. I can gush over that damn movie for 3 hours if you let me. So that's that. Four is the Departed, because when Shane was thinking on doing it and we were talking, got announced that we were doing it, I cried tears of joy. I love that movie. You know, that's a movie that, my God, I saw it, you know, when I was like, for the first time when I was like 10, which a 10-year-old should not be watching that movie.
That's fine.
But yeah, but The Departed has to be at four, because that movie is so great. I could watch it a bunch of times and not get bored. I haven't watched as much as Gladiator, so that's why I kind of kept it at four. But that's that. Hurt Locker was hard for me to place. I did end up putting it at three, but it was hard for me to place. At one point, I had it as low as like 11. And then I was like, okay, maybe it goes at seven. Then I put it at three. I was just like, it was hard to place, but then when I really thought about it, it's probably, at least for me, out of the war movies I've seen, it's the greatest of all the ones I've seen. So, I mean, outside of what, maybe 1917, which we did. But obviously that was on a different list. So in terms of this show, I mean, that one kind of just blew me away, Hurt Locker. I mean, then the performances, you know, were great in that movie. So I can't say enough about that. We did a whole thing about it, but that was at three. Number two, well, actually, you guys know one and two, because I said for those weeks that they probably were going to end up being in the top two, and it's weeks one and two. So number two is Hell or High Water. I loved it. That one, I still have great memory of it, pretty much. And it still stuck with me after I finished it, and after we did the pod on it. I want to go back to it, but that movie was so much fun to me that I really liked it. I didn't get bored of it. And number one, I even said it back in week one, it would probably be my number one. I think I did say it on the pod, and it ended up being true. It's Sicario. I love it. I mean, that's the one I had to stick with, because I mean, my grandfather's watched it. I've now like basically rewatched it. Well, watched it in full, because I've always seen bits and pieces, but that was my first real full watch of it. So that was number one. That was great from start to finish. That I could watch it a bunch of times and not get bored of it, just like many on this list. But I said all year long that was probably going to end up being my number one, and it stuck with me the entire season. I was like, I literally was, when we were going through movies every week, I'm like, does this beat Sicario? No. Does this beat Sicario? No. Does this beat Sicario? No. I'm like, okay, I don't think any of these are beating that for me. So that's number one for me.
I think we made a joke that I asked you, will Venom 2 beat Sicario? And you said, hell no.
Well, I mean, yeah, it does. It's not gonna, but it's still funny.
So 2 years straight now, Brandon, your number one movie has been the movie we did week one.
Yep. Because it's
just hilarious.
It sticks so well. Like, week one, for some reason for me, we always start with bangers, and I just end up comparing every movie we do to that one. And I'm just like,
okay, so I need to do like our shittiest movie of the year on week one next time.
please scatter them. Like, can we do like a mid season movie first, like a couple mid season movies first, and then see where it goes? God.
Yeah.
You know, actually, before you do your list, Shane, I was gonna ask you on the podcast, because I was thinking about this more today, and I think I put it in our chat. I want to do a movie next year where we go to the theater and watch it. But I don't think there's anything that good during the season until probably December.
We can look at it as the time gets closer.
Yeah, because I don't think anything September, October, November is that good, to be fair. But yeah.
Wrestling.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, wow. Our lists are... All three of our lists are all over the place.
The average is gonna be bad this year, I think.
You know why? But here's the thing. You know why? Before you go on yours, because last year there was clearly good movies and bad ones. This year they were all good to a degree.
Yeah, I agree. I think other than maybe like a couple, they were fantastic. We hit the nail this year.
You weren't just cooking, Shane. You were crafting while you were cooking.
Thank you. That was the intention.
Other than me saying, let's do Venom.
Yeah, which is my number 21. Surprise, surprise.
We're all the same with Venom.
And I like the movie. I still don't. I like it, but I also know it's bad.
Oh,
and then, let's see. Yeah, so that's my last one. I don't think I really need to go into more detail.
No.
Number 20 for me. Sorry, Robert. Tenet.
That's the problem is you don't understand it.
No, I get it, but I hate it.
I get it, but I hate it.
No, it's garbage. No, it's not garbage. It's just, it's annoying. Number 19, I have Joker. Yeah, that's the first real wrench I'm throwing in this.
Yeah, that's the big one, because Rob and I are very similar. I think I had it at 9, you had it at, what, 7, I think?
Yeah.
Yep, 7 and 9. I don't know. That movie just makes me feel weird.
I'll be honest. I think for Brandon and I, the second one made us feel weird, which is why it wasn't in our top fives.
Yeah,
I think that's what hit it. That stench is still in our mouths.
Yeah. 18, I have Christmas Vacation, not because it's bad, but just because it's, you know, I mean, it's just a fun Christmas comedy. So I just feel like there's others that are, I just get more out of some others. 17, I have Hancock. You know, not a bad movie by any means, just hasn't aged particularly well, I don't think, as far as the look and whatever else. But I appreciate what they were going for with it. 16, I have Hell or High Water, which I liked this movie a lot more on my first watch, and then when I watched it for a second time for our show, I was like, I found myself not bored, but just kind of, I wasn't as into it as I was the first time, I guess. 15, I have Adventureland, which, you know, and I love this movie, you know, don't get me wrong. It's just that, you know, like Brandon was saying, I mean, the cast is supposed to be like 2022, but they look, you know, 30.
Wait till we get to Spider-Man 1 Tobey next week.
Really? Yeah. Well, yeah, we know.
Or Amazing Spider-Man, that's even more so.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, it's still a really fun movie though. 14, I have Moneyball. Just because it's, you know, like Brandon said, it is a little formulaic. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's a sports biopic. None of them are that interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, compared to the rest of them, I feel like this one's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
13, I have The Departed. I really enjoy the first two thirds of it. And the last act, I'm like, oh, God. 12, I have Free Solo, which is, you know, like Brandon, I'm not that big of a documentary guy, but I really do enjoy this one. I think it's, you know, very cinematic and tells a pretty inspiring story. 11, Rescue Dawn, you know, it's a good Vietnam War movie, but it is kind of a, you know, kind of a burn in some slow burn in some ways. Let's see. 10, I have, wait. Yeah. 10, I have Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Okay.
I wanted to put this higher just because, you know, I love Jim Carrey and I love seeing him in non-comedic stuff where he's just a, you know, totally over the top and dramatic. But But there just were nine other movies I enjoyed more. Simply as that. Simple. Number nine, Pan's Labyrinth. You know, very, very unique movie. Which I think is part of what holds it down for me a little bit, because it's, I feel like in some ways, kind of weird and not a good way. but for the most part, you know, I think it's a really interesting world that they set up in that movie. Eight, give me The Princess Bride. You know, is it cheesy? Yeah. Is it, you know, dated and just kind of not, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, just dated, yes, you know, all that. But it's so much fun, and it's, and it really is kind of the classic, you know, modern fairy tale, so to speak. And there's a reason for that, you know, it's just iconic. Seven, I have It. Which, yeah, it was a little higher than you guys. I don't think this movie is that scary. I really never did, to be honest. And maybe it's the nostalgia, I don't know. But, I saw it. This came out the beginning of our senior year. I was doing great at that time, you know. So maybe it's just good memories. But I really like the interaction of all the kids and how they, you know, just how they react to this thing. I feel like it's very, I just feel like it's very real as far as like what would happen if, you know, this situation took place in real life. Six, I have Gone Girl. So, you know, pretty high for Robert, not so high for Brandon. And, you know, not top five for me, but it's up there. You know, I think the only thing keeping it out of the top five is, like, it's just, this movie, like, mentally disturbs me every time I see it, which, you know, it's kind of a compliment, but it's also just, you know, like, I don't enjoy feeling like that, so.
That's why I knocked it down a lot.
That's,
yeah.
This doesn't make me psychopathic, I hope, but I just find those movies so fascinating. I just find it a tank, kind of.
Yeah, but... every time I watch it, I'm like, wow, that's amazing, because it makes me feel that way, you know? It's like, wow, that's pretty effective. Anyways, top five here. Number five, Hurt Locker. Very unique war movie, just because there's not actually a lot of war going on, a lot of combat or anything. It's more so about, the psychology of the guys. And so, you know, I like that. It feels very real just being there on location, seeing all the dirt and dust and everything. Number four, Gladiator. You know, that's, I mean, you know, modern historical epic. That's about all you need to know. It's just great. Three, I have Rango. I think it's one of the best animated movies ever. You know, and after, I remember seeing it as a kid and I really liked it. And then I watched it again, maybe, you know, 5-6 years ago, liked it even more, and yeah, still really loved it on this third watch through for this season. Number two, this was my number one for a long time, Sicario. So, you know, it's I love the way that they show tension. And also how they really deceive the audience by having the true main character be Alejandro, played by Benicio del Toro. It's just, yeah. I think it's a really brilliant twist, and it's done in a way that, you know, keeps you more engaged with the whole story, going through Kate, Emily Blunt's perspective. And number one, same as Robert, downfall. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm with Brandon. I normally have a hard time getting into foreign language films, not because they're bad, but just because I'm partially dyslexic, so I find myself, you know, like, as I'm sitting there trying to read the subtitles, like, wait, slow down. You know, but this movie, I mean, it's just, I think this is easily my favorite World War II movie, because it is so unique, where, you know, every movie we see on World War II, it's about the Allies. Very rarely do we go see it from, you know, Germany or Japan or Italy's perspective. I mean, you know, you have this and The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which is really more about the Holocaust than it is the war. Yeah. But other than that, like, I can't think of a whole lot. But anyways, I just think this movie just did such an amazing job of showing the war from Germany's perspective while not saying, like, yeah, no, we just misunderstood them. You know, it's like, no, they still messed up, but, like, there were a lot of people that weren't behind the cause, and, you know, just seeing firsthand the ways that, like, Hitler really kind of, you know, manipulates everybody. Because, you know, we read about it in textbooks and hearing about it in history class, but to actually see it, and that's just, it's a little bit different.
Not only to see it, to feel it emotionally.
Oh, absolutely. Wild. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I mean, this is a great example of, you know, obviously Bruno Gantz, who played Hitler, did an incredible job, but also the other actors. I mean, just, you know, there was a lot of attention shown to how tense everybody felt when he was around. And I thought that was really effective. So yeah, for me, this is number one, for sure. I saw it for the first time, last summer, and I was absolutely blown away. I watched it again for the show, and I liked it even more the second time. So yeah, it's clear number one for me. And, you know, I thought I was going to be joining Brandon in Sicario land, but not this year.
But the good thing is, you said that we were so different. We were more alike than I thought we would be when you said that we were so different. Cause I was like, there's something that we were kind of close on.
Yeah. I mean, usually it's like two of us agree on one and then one of us is like way off.
Yeah.
Well, for instance, Downfall, Robert and I both had a 1, you had a 12.
Yeah.
Or like Tenet, we both had it, you know, bottom 5, and Robert had it 2.
I mean, we knew that. We knew that. Though,
you know, I know. Or like Hell or High Water, Brandon had it 2, and Robert and I had it 15 and 16. You know, it's just like, or you guys, you had Joker way up top 10, and I had it 19. Yeah. So, you know, and that's the thing. I really don't think any of these movies, other than Venom 2 and arguably Tenet, are bad. Sorry, Robert. you know, so it's just, it all just comes down to, you know, personal preference. And I think that was very evident here. I mean, you know.
In all of this, yeah.
I really like history, and particularly history of the last, you know, 100 years or so. So, yeah, obviously Downfall, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is cool. You know, whereas I'm not into, you know, movies that are, you know, movies where it's like you get mixed messages about mental illness and whatever else. I'm like, oh, I feel like this is, you know, with a movie like Joker, where it's like, what are you trying to say here? Like, you know,
and then completely ruin it in the next movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too. But that's, yeah. yeah. So I'm just counting up all the averages here so that I can. That I can get the consensus group list, or the group ranking, I mean, which this year not quite as uniform as last year, but you know, but it's for the most part we're pretty close on most of them. It's just adding everything up, but. Anyways, did you guys have other thoughts?
While you're doing that, do you have a full-length preview of what you might be doing next year?
No, because I'm still deciding.
he's cooking again.
He's cooking. He's in the kitchen. He's cooking. He is cooking.
I sure am in the kitchen. But yeah.
Brandon, I have an NFL thing for you, just a quick thing. Do you want to guess what is the number one player on the top 101 free agents list on NFL.com?
I remember they came out with the list. I remember there was three Eagles on the list in, like, the top 10, I think.
Yeah, our boy Greg Rosenthal did the list this year.
I don't want to say it's Milton Williams. I don't think it would be.
It is Milton Williams.
Is it really?
That's how bad this class is. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no knock on Milton Williams, but a DT should not be your number one
best
overall.
Available.
Yeah. But he's good. He's gonna get the Javon Hargrave treatment. He's gonna get a bag from somebody.
And then get cut 3 years later, maybe.
I wanna see him succeed, but I hope if he goes to a team where it's not an enemy of the Eagles, I wish him nothing but the best. I love that guy. And the thing is, he showed up big this entire season. And I said since he got drafted, remember the year he got drafted? Even a year after his second season, I said to you guys for the first time, I love Milton Williams. It's still true almost basically 3 seasons later. So wherever he goes, I hope he does well, as long as it's not like, you know, Dallas, New York, San Fran, like those three especially, just, or hell, even Washington now, because Washington's gonna want to compete. And now they're losing their big DT, so, you know, I don't want to see him go there, but we'll see.
Yeah. Shane, do you have our list?
I do. I have our top five, and now I'm just working on the rest of it, but I'll start saying it as I go here. So our number one overall... highest average is Sicario. And then whoa, not that one. Holy shit. Sorry. And then number two is Downfall.
Yeah.
And then three, we have Gladiator. Number four, we have Hurt Locker, and number five is Rango.
Totally fine with that, actually. That's pretty good.
Those are the top five. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I like it.
Coincidentally, those also happen to be my top five. So I'm definitely good with it. Let's see. And then, wait, is this correct? Hold on, sorry. Math was never my strong suit.
Never mine either. It's okay.
Yeah, look at this. We're then
Okay. We're good. We're good. Yeah, yeah. We're art majors. We don't know what we're doing. yeah. So that's the top five, and then number six is Eternal Sunshine. Number seven is The Departed.
Okay.
Number eight, Gone Girl.
Okay.
Number nine. Is that it? Yeah, I guess it is. Number nine, Hell or High Water.
Interesting. Okay.
Number 10 is Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay.
I'm happy with the top 10. I'm happy with it. I'm fine with it. I'm really good.
Yeah. Number 11 is It.
Okay.
Number 12, Joker. Number 13, Rescue Dawn.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure. So that's number 13, is that what I said? Yeah. Number 14, we have, let's see, number 14, Moneyball. No, sorry. Number 14 is Princess Bride.
Okay.
Okay.
And then number 15 is Moneyball.
That's the first one I'm like,
Oh yeah, because it's number six for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you think I felt about Whiplash being number eight last year? Yeah. Yeah. Sick to my stomach. Let's see. So number. Okay, where are we?
16.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, 15 is Adventureland.
Okay. Oh, wait. That's about right.
We're at 16, I thought. Because you said 15.
Sorry, minutes. Yes. 16 is Adventureland.
Yeah, that's fine.
16. And then...
Man, we had a tough time ranking that one. Okay.
And then 17... 17 is... Oh, wait. I messed up.
Jesus. Just tell me Venom 2 is at 21.
Well, yes. So 15, so 16 is Tenet. Sorry. 16 yes. is Tenet.
I'm happy with that. I'm really good with that. I thought it was going to be like 20.
16. So then 17 is Adventureland. 18, Free Solo. 19, Christmas Vacation. 20.
That one, but I understand why.
Yeah, 20 is Hancock and 21 Venom 2.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Right. I'm okay with it. I'm just happy Tenet got placed in a respectable position.
Yeah.
You made it out of the bottom five.
Made it out of purgatory. Thank God.
Yeah.
But
so there we go.
Yeah, I think a pretty solid list. Shane, you got a job now. You got a top next year. Or you got to top it next year. Because it's going to be
tough. I know. Yeah, we'll see about that.
We'll see about that. Oh,
let him
no.
cook. Let him cook.
Let him cook.
Yeah.
The movies this year are better than the Cincinnati Bengals front office with money.
Oh, boy.
Jesus. Kind of true.
I'm going to put our list in the Discord here.
Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, right, fun.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing your guys' lists in a year.
Yeah. When we figure out what movies we're going to do. Can you at least give us a taste of what week one could be?
Well, you know, Robert, just for you, I'll do that.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be for me if I asked somebody to piss off.
Yeah, probably. let's see. I think. Well, every year we've gone with kind of a crime thriller week one between Collateral and then Sicario. So I think week one, but also like kind of action. I got to think about it.
That's fine. Yeah, that's a good tease. I can live with that tease.
Well, have you got at oh actually actually we almost did this movie this year, because this year we didn't do a true spaghetti western, we just did a modern western with Hell or High Water.
I'm bringing back the spaghettis. I like it.
We were gonna, yeah, and there's a lot of them, so we got to do one. We almost did this movie this year, so I think week one we should pull out 310 to Yuma.
Yes. Oh, yes. God. I have it on Blu-ray just because I was waiting for you to pick it. I bought it for $3. I've been waiting.
I think that's not official yet, but I think that's gonna be our week one, maybe.
At least it's on the list. Yeah. I'm excited because there's some very specific like criteria. Like I want to do a movie where we have to go to the movie theater to watch it, like opening week, and like
yeah, I know, to just cover every genre.
We like to cover every genre, but I think next year you also have a task of doing something really unique and different, like I said, with picking a movie from the theaters to go to and whatever else we decide to do, and avoiding comic books, or at least DC and Marvel, because we're going to handle that a lot this off season. So
yeah, I'm good with those.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you right now, that movie, if we do a week one, will not be number one for me next season, because I've seen it. Any movies that I've seen, I have a hard time putting them at one.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be in my
pick a different movie then.
It'll probably be in my well no because that yeah, yeah
no we have to keep up with the theme
of making the first one my favorite one
movie being something I've never seen before,
and the craziest thing is that week is gonna be nuts because we have your Eagles on Thursday, the Chargers on Friday. And then Sunday and Monday going crazy. So.
Oh, goodness. Oof.
That's going to be a wild week one.
That's going to be doozy.
That's going to be a wild week one. But yeah. So I think the only one on disc that I have that... Yeah, it is. Oh, I have Dark Knight. So I'm going to watch that on disc. I've obviously seen it multiple times by this point, but still, I have it on disc now.
Sure.
Every time I think of that movie, I just think of that.
Where are the other drugs going?
I think
any quote from any three of those Batman movies works.
I like the one where the Joker comes in and he's like da da da, and he comes in with the goons and he's like, "You're doing all this stuff in broad daylight." Like so good.
So, oh yeah.
You think the television's plan? It's great. So good. Can't wait to talk about that when we get there in a few weeks' time. Next week is a Spider-Man 1 2002. Am I correct on the year for that one?
Yeah. Yep.
2002. That's gonna be very fun. Optional viewing, of course, is Spider-Man 2. So if you wish to watch that, to kind of, I'm sure you guys have seen it multiple times. I've only seen it once, so I'm gonna watch it again next week. No Spider-Man 3. Fuck that movie. It's awful. Genuinely, thank you.
The first Spider-Man was my favorite movie from like age 3 to 7. Like
that. Yep.
Yeah.
Not even joking, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
Yeah, but optional viewing is Spider-Man 2, but Spider-Man 1 is we're going through all the origin of our three great Spider-Men before we kind of lead you into No Way Home over the next month or so. But we'll see you next week.
Do you know how much I sacrificed?
For our free agency show plus the head coaching rankings, which is going to be a fun one because Brandon's been waiting and waiting to do the head coach rankings. And then we can finally
do it. It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a draft format, snake draft format, as we did last year. And then if you're wondering when the QB, receiver, and running back draft will get done, that will get done in July.
We'll get to it. Calm down, everybody.
Yeah, as we want to see how everything kind of forms up. So we'll get to that in July. I have an inkling of who's going to be picked last. I already kind of know.
In what?
In the head coach's draft. I already kind of have a feeling who's going to be last.
Wait. I have to think about this. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think I already know, but we'll find out.
Are his initials BS?
Yes. It's probably going to be Brian Schottenheimer. I think.
Coincidentally.
I have so much joy with that. I'm going to have so much joy with that, picking a Cowboys head coach last.
It's just so perfect that his initials are literally, he's literally BS.
It will probably be Schottenheimer, but everything else is going to be... I've been thinking about my top five all week, but I'll definitively make the list next week. But for Will, for Brandon, for Shane, for myself, we will see you then. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Take it easy, guys.
Take care, everybody.